You are listening to Pure Opelka
with Mike Opelka.
Joining me today, just one of the most interesting characters I've met in quite some time. She's an author. She's an activist. She's done television and radio. Her book is called Rude, and we would be precluded from just doing random readings from it on American radio. She is Katie Hopkins. Katie, welcome. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And yes, it is way too rude for America. It is sort of a... Basically, when I wrote this book, I got up in the mornings because I have three little kids. So I would get up at like 4 a.m. and write until, say, 6 a.m. until they woke up. So I was all on my own in a room in the dark. And I thought I was just kind of talking to myself. And so I overshared massively. And it was like going to a therapist on my own. And then all of a sudden, a book arrived in my house, or a box full of books. And I was like, oh, no, this stuff, people are actually going to see it. So at my book signings, I just cross out the chapters that I say people aren't allowed to read. Or if I judge the person to be too old or too male to read some of the words, I cross them out.
Well, now that disturbs me. I'm a free speech fan. You know, my license plate is after one, because after the First Amendment, really, the rest of it would be worthless. So I get nervous about this. You're acting very British. Your homeland.
Only because there's a sort of outside me, an outside world me, Katie me, and then there's like little private me inside my house with my family and my children and my husband and what I do in the shower or how I shave my legs and all the things I don't talk about in public because it's not appropriate. And what I found is that I accidentally shared all of that in a book that then I shared with many countries. So I made a minor error of oversharing judgment.
Well, that happens. As someone who's who's a member of the same club, I understand. It happens.
People say that it makes them laugh out loud on the subway. So, you know what? If it does that on someone's rubbish commute in the morning, then I'm very happy. Although people also say they have to read it behind a magazine so that no one sees them reading my book.
Yeah, I understand that as well. We're talking to Katie Hopkins. She's also joined the Canadian group Rebel Media. And for the radio audience, for the podcast audience, Katie, is this the super conservative end of Canada's media? Or I guess it's the only conservative end of Canada's media.
Yes, absolutely. It is the only conservative media platform that there is. It's obviously attacked relentlessly by the rest of the press, but, you know, we come to expect that. I was in Canada for a week, I think, pulling together my documentary on, you know, the murders of the white farmers in South Africa, where I'd spent 3 weeks previously. And I decided, right, I know, I'm a Brit, I'll go into the center of Toronto and find someone with a personality. So off I set into Toronto with a cameraman and a producer, and I was like, this is it, I'm going to find personality on the streets of Toronto. And I was there for a full 2 hours in minus 15 degrees and didn't find one.
Really? Not yes. Well, they are very polite. Canadians are known for being
polite.
Very polite.
Polite is just a word for, you know, void of personality. Polite is, yes, you should have got out more, and yes, you can't really socialize. So the word polite is just a euphemism.
Wow. I want everyone to know that's Katie Hopkins, not Mike Opelka.
You said that. No, you said it, Michael. You said it.
I refer to Canada the way the Simpsons do. They're America's hat, basically.
They are not America's hat. They're like America's socks. They're like the bit of you you don't need to see and don't want to look at and should go straight in the wash basket without ever passing go. You know, I also spent the 2 hours looking for a Canadian that actually came from Canada. I didn't find one of them either. I only found half of Africa and most of Afghanistan.
Really? Well, I do know the Prime Minister, Mr. Trudeau. He said, we welcome everyone. And then started realizing, hold on a second, if all these people show up, we're going to have to take care of them.
I know. And then he gets really muddled. So he sits there with his little special pair of socks on, celebrating Eid. you know, after Ramadan. And then he also has a little banner in one hand or a tie saying, you know, LGBT rights. And then he forgets, like, somewhere on his body, his clothing messaging gets conflicted because, of course, Muslims aren't a big fan of homosexuals. And so he's kind of like, oh, no, I'm conflicted. And then he turned up in India. Did you see the pictures of him in India?
The dancing.
Oh, the dancing, and then also the outfits, the family on the top of the steps of the plane in their
right.
full Bollywood, like Disney Bollywood gear. What is that about? Where does that come from?
It seems as if this young world leader, or he's at least been admitted into the club because of the position he holds in Canada, he feels like it's all part of a reality show. And we accuse the American president, some people in the press do, of being more like a reality show character. But I find Trudeau to be more into that area.
I totally agree. I think Trudeau was a drama teacher, right? Wasn't he?
Well, didn't he run off with his drama teacher?
Yeah, so there was a drama teacher thing. So I feel like, you know, he's still more of a drama teacher. He's still almost acting the role of prime minister. So, you know, we love everybody. We love everything. We love everyone. And instead, you know, you end up with a place that's overrun by migrants where you can't find a single Canadian, where regular Canadians are being pushed out. And then he said in his stupid fancy dress, pretending to be Indian, and Indian people stopped me when I was in Toronto to say that they don't dress like that. So, you know, they would speak to their Indian relatives who'd be like, what's this guy doing? Is this how he thinks Indian people go about the place, like in full Bollywood regalia? So yeah. It was really deeply shaming on the world stage, I think.
Yeah, I think cultural appropriation along the lines of Monsoon Wedding is really distasteful, and he should be called out for it. So I'm glad glad somebody did. Now, you were in America for a while. You're still here and going back home shortly. You were in America investigating a couple of different things, one of which I thought was really fascinating, Skid Row and the homelessness in California. Talk about that, please.
Yeah, well, I decided, you know, so many of us come to L.A., don't we, time after time, and maybe if you're in a car or you're driving, people will point out, oh, that's Skid Row, or that Skid Row down there, you don't want to go down there, or, you know, that Skid Row, just avoid that. And even a hotel that I went to, just a couple blocks off Skid Row, I went in there to get a map from them, and they'd stuck a sticker over all of Skid Row, so they'd kind of just hidden it away under a sticker as if it wasn't really there, which is a kind of madness when you think about it, when you're only actually a couple blocks away from that actual thing. And so I decided, right, no one else wants to go there. No one else wants to talk about it. The Democrats don't want to talk about it. I'll go. And so I spent 2 days, two nights on Skid Row. I don't know what I've caught at the moment. I'm assuming I have Hep C or Hep A or both, or maybe Ebola. But what I can tell you, it was much worse than I anticipated. It is a sea of human waste, human filth, and rats. The rats literally are streaming across the road. They run across your feet as you go down the road, which is slippery because of all the stuff underfoot. And I honestly believe it's a human health hazard, like a time bomb in the center of downtown LA, just waiting to go off. And if there isn't something that happens this summer in the heat there, I will be truly surprised. I kind of thought of my history books like I did history at school, you know, in the 1600s in London. The description of London in the 1600s, that is a perfect description of downtown LA today in March 2018, right before the outbreak of bubonic plague. And I can see it coming, you know, and then you drive around LA and then, of course, another road, another row of tents, another underpass, a row of tents. And I wonder, you know, people, will they start acknowledging this problem once it's actually at their back door? Like when you wake up in the morning and there's a row of tents down your road and rats, then you'll start to think maybe we should have done something. So those are my observations. And I think a much more serious intervention is needed on Skid Row than tea and tears and sympathy and kindness.
Well, we'll be interested to see if there is a reaction from the government. There seems to be some discussion of turning empty shopping malls into homeless villages now. I do know Walmart and some of the camping stores have taken the tents off of the shelves and put them behind the counter, so you have to ask for them because they've had so many of them stolen. It's a big problem, Katie.
Yeah, and that's sort of a typical that's kind of classic, isn't it? You know, we have these sort of dreadful things happening. We have a 5-6 block area with 4,000 people and 40,000 rats. And people who are, you know, these rats will spread and these rats have fleas on, and it's the fleas on the rats that'll get us. And then what is our response to that? Our response is to take the tents off the shelves in Walmart. You know, when you compare the reality with the response, and I appreciate Walmart are clearly trying to help, but all I mean is that is not going to stop this problem. We need, in my personal opinion, these people are beyond help, and it's very, very unfortunate, and I'm very sorry, but because of their mental illnesses and because of their drug addictions, they are lost, and I think it's only human and right that they be helped physically, by force if required, into accommodations where they can be cared for. You know, we shut down sanatoriums and we just expect people to find their way. Well, these people will never find their way. They are drowning, and until they drown, we're just going to watch them. And that seems like a craziness to me, you know, in 2018.
Yeah, we have the resources, and there is seemingly among many in every party the will to try and take care of the problem. We just need to all stop talking about it and do something.
Mm-hmm. I think that's completely right. And I think what, you know, how I feel about it as well, I feel like if we don't, it's very convenient to talk about something else. It's very convenient to talk about Stormy Daniels. It's, you know, scandalous. It's convenient to talk about Dreamers or Sanctuary Cities because it sounds like a kind of spa resort where you might get a nice facial. You know, we don't talk about the ugly things in life, and sometimes we just need to front up a bit to those, I think.
I like that. I'm going to steal that expression. It's not exactly...
Steal the line, babe.
Yeah, front up a little bit, America.
Front up, step up. Yeah, that's not about just throwing money. At people. I don't believe throwing money at people on Skid Row will ever help. It won't help to give them more money or donate them more food or donate them another mission or give them another shower block. That's not it. The money needs to go to a special task force into clear Skid Row, but to enable people beyond help and beyond helping themselves to be cared for appropriately. You know, that it's targeted funding. It's not about supporting people on Skid Row. It's about enabling them to move into accommodations where they can be cared for, almost in a hospitalized type situation.
That's a great point. At a certain spot in their lives, people are broken beyond fixing. We fix the ones we can, we help the ones we can't, and we move on and try and stay the greatest society on the planet, as I refer to all capitalists. At least that's the way I think. Katie Hopkins, you are a gem. I hope you will come back again
soon.
Thank you.
Of course I will. You take care, and I'll speak to you soon.
Safe travels.
Bye, sweetie.